Today we're doing something a little different. I want you to picture your office break room, or
Right.
maybe the waiting room at your dentist's office. There's always that machine in the corner, you know,
The water cooler.
the water cooler. You probably used it 1,000 times, filled up your bottle, and just walked away without a second thought.
It is the quintessential piece of like invisible furniture. It's just there.
It's just there.
Yeah.
Exactly. But today, we're actually going to stop and look at that machine. That cooler is, it's basically a battleground.
It really is a battleground for health, for technology, and
Fascinating. So, what are our sources today?
we have a really interesting set of materials. We're looking at a company called Cunningham Pure Water LLC. This is a major player in this whole water purification space.
And to get the full picture, we're also cross-referencing with data from the Environmental Working Group, the EWG.
Right. They track what's actually in American tap water, which is a whole other story.
So the mission today is to unpack this workplace water ecosystem. We're going to figure out why those big, heavy blue jugs are disappearing.
What kind of sci-fi tech is replacing them?
And this is my favorite part, you know, the jug struggle.
The jug struggle is a great term for it.
Okay.
I mean, if you rely on that bottled water delivery, you are dealing with a really heavy object. Those 5-gallon bottles, they weigh over 40 pounds.
And it's never the person who ordered the water who has to change it, is it?
Almost never. It's usually just whoever is unlucky enough to walk by when the cooler gurgles dry. Really highlight the risk of workplace injury. You know, back strain, dropped bottles. They even use this phrase, juggling jugs.
Juggling jugs. I like that. It sounds chaotic.
It does, but beyond the back pain, there's this logistical headache that I hadn't really thought about. It's the storage
The
problem.
storage, right?
Space is money, especially in a small office. So you have full bottles taking up floor space, then you have the empty bottles waiting for pickup. It's just clutter.
And then there's the anxiety of running out.
Yeah.
You have to guess how thirsty your staff is going to be.
Which brings us to the financial pain point.
Variable billing.
This is a huge deal for a business manager. In the summer, people drink more water, so the bill goes up. If gas prices spike, you get hit with fuel surcharges.
Businesses hate that unpredictability. They want a flat line on the spreadsheet.
Not a jagged one. So you've got the physical pain, the logistical pain, the financial pain. But the one that really got me was the sanitation argument.
Yeah, because you always just assume that the water inside that blue bottle is, you know, pristine.
And the water inside the sealed bottle usually is. The problem is what they call the open reservoir in the cooler itself.
Explain that.
Well, think about the mechanics. You pull the old bottle off. Now you have this open basin. Dust settles in there. Maybe someone touches the room with dirty hands. Then you flip the new bottle
You
on.
get that GLUG, GLUG sound.
And that sound is office air sneezes, dust, cleaning chemicals, all bubbling right up into your supposedly clean water supply.
Ugh, I'm never going to hear that sound the same way again.
It's an open system, and the Cunningham literature pushes this hard. Open systems get dirty.
Okay, so the jug is a hassle and kind of a hygiene risk. The obvious alternative then is the kitchen sink. It's plumbed in, it's endless, it's basically free.
And that is the objection every single sales rep has to be ready for. And this is where we have to bring in that data from the Environmental Working Group. Because the answer really boils down to, do you have any idea what's coming out of that tap?
There was a phrase from the research that stuck with me.
What was that?
Legal does not mean safe.
That is the critical distinction. See, federal water quality standards, they're set by the EPA, but a lot of those regulations haven't been updated in decades.
But the science has.
The science evolves much, much faster than the bureaucracy. So you might have a certain level of a chemical in your water that's technically legal, but health scientists might consider that same level pretty dangerous long term.
And the list of contaminants they flagged in the source material
Yeah.
is, it's sobering.
Yeah, we're not talking about a little dirt here. We're
No.
looking at heavy metals like lead and arsenic. We're looking at chromium 6, you know, the Aaron Brockovich chemical.
Chloroform,
And
radium,
the big one these days, PFAS.
the forever chemicals.
Correct. Pro and polyfluoroalkyl substances. They're used in like non-stick pans and firefighting foam, and they just don't break down. Not in the environment, not in your body. They just accumulate.
So if you're an office manager, the argument completely shifts. It's not just about refreshment anymore.
So it becomes a wellness issue. It becomes, do I want my team drinking forever chemicals all day?
And that's the wedge. That is how Cunningham's position their product. They aren't selling water, they're selling purity. They're selling a bottleless system.
Right, and let's get into the hardware, because this is where it gets a little technical, but it's really cool.
The solution they pitch is a machine that hooks right into the building's water line.
Like a fridge with an ice maker.
Yeah, but then it puts the water through what looks like a car wash for molecules.
That's a great way to put it. The documents detail this five-stage filtration process,
mm-hmm.
and the order of these stages is really important.
Okay, so walk us through it. A drop of water goes in. What's stage one?
Stage one is the sediment filter. Think of it as the bouncer at the club. Its only job is to stop the big rowdy stuff.
Like dirt, rust from old pipes.
Silt, exactly. It protects the more delicate filters that come later from getting physically clogged.
Okay, so the big chunks are gone. Stage two.
That's the pre-carbon filter. This one targets chemicals, mainly chlorine.
Which is what makes tap water taste like a swimming pool.
Right. Municipalities use it to kill bacteria, which is good, but the taste is bad. And chlorine can actually damage the next filter in line.
And in stage three, the source material calls this the heavy lifter.
This is the heart of the whole system, the reverse osmosis membrane, or RO.
So how does that actually work?
Well, if you remember from high school biology, osmosis is water moving through a barrier. Reverse osmosis uses pressure to force water through a membrane that is incredibly, incredibly tight.
How tight are we talking?
We are talking about blocking particles as small as 0.00001 microns. A human hair is about 75 microns. So this membrane, it strips out over 99% of all dissolved solids. This is where the lead, the arsenic, the PFAS chemicals, they get stopped cold. They physically can't fit through the holes.
So on the other side, you get pure H2O. I've heard a rumor, and maybe it's a myth, that drinking 100% pure RO water isn't actually that good for you.
It's not a myth at all. It's chemistry.
Okay.
When you sip everything out of water, it becomes slightly acidic. It's almost hungry water. It wants to bond with minerals so it can taste flat or a little bitter. And yeah, we do get important trace minerals from our water.
And this is where stage four comes in. This was the aha moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
They break the water down. And then they build it back up.
Precisely. It's called the BioShore filter. It's a remineralization stage. The pure water flows over these bioceramic beads that release specific electrolytes back in.
Like what?
Calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium.
So they're basically turning it into a squirts drink, but without the sugar.
In a way, yeah. It brings back the flavor we like, and it raises the pH to make the water alkaline, which a lot of people prefer.
And stage five is at the last step.
The last step is a final TCR carbon block, just a final polish to make sure the taste is crisp and fresh right when it hits your glass.
But wait, what about the tank? We said earlier that standing water is the enemy, so even if the water is clean going in, if it sits in a tank inside the machine, isn't it going to grow stuff?
Biofilm. Yes, that's the nemesis of water storage. There's two technologies for this. First, there's in-tank UV light sanitization.
Kills bacteria.
Right. But more interestingly, they use ozone.
Ozone, like the layer in the atmosphere.
The same molecule, O3. It's a very unstable form of oxygen. The machine generates a tiny amount and pumps it into the holding tank.
And what does it do?
Ozone is a powerful oxidizer. It just attacks the cell walls of bacteria, E. coli, Salmonella, and destroys them. Then, because it's so unstable, it just turns back into regular oxygen, no chemical residue.
It's a mini water treatment plant for the break room. And looking at the hardware, these aren't just beige boxes anymore. They have this XL1 hydration center with a 15-inch touchscreen.
Looks like an iPad that serves water. And for places like nursing homes, they have the i30 powerhouse. It can make 380 pounds of ice a day.
380 pounds of ice. You know, the next time I'm in an office and I see one of those sleek touchscreen water dispensers, I'm not just going to see a hydration station.
Yeah. And you'll probably wonder if the water inside really is 30 ppm or less.
I mean, we'd be bringing my TDS meter with me everywhere now.
A wise precaution.
So here's our final thought for you, the listener. The next time you walk into your break room, take a look at the water cooler. Is it a jug struggle situation, or is it one of these high-tech systems?
Yeah.
And more importantly, do you have any idea when the filters were last changed?
Because that's the real question. Is it a hydration solution or just a biology experiment waiting to happen?
On that refreshing note, thanks for diving deep with us. Stay hydrated, everyone.
Goodbye.